Okay. 2 Kings chapter 14 is where we are. Verse 1. It's easy to be confused here, by the way, with names. For the last several weeks, when we've been studying the Kings, they got the same name. There's a Joash in the north, there's a Joash in the south, Jehoahaz, various, they're the same. So, just keep it clear from the location, the region of Israel or Judah. Verse 1, in the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiadin of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David, his father. He did according to all that Joash, his father, had done. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And it came about as soon as the kingdom was firmly in his hand that he killed his servants who had slain the king, his father. But the sons of the slayers he did not put to death, according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, as the Lord commanded, saying, "The father shall not be put to death for the sons, nor the sons be put to death for the fathers, but each shall be put to death for his own sin." He killed of Edom in the Valley of Salt 10,000, and took Selah by war and named it Jokthiel to this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us face each other." Jehoash is Joash in the north. Jehoash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, "The thorn bush which was in Lebanon said to the cedar which was in Lebanon, saying, 'Give your daughter to my son in marriage.' But there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trampled the thorn bush. You have indeed defeated Edom, and your heart has become proud. Enjoy your glory and stay at home. For why should you provoke trouble so that you would fall and Judah with you?" But Amaziah would not listen. So Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. Judah was defeated by Israel, and they fled each to his tent. Then Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and tore down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. He took all the gold and silver and all the utensils which were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did, and the might and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam his son became king in his place. We'll set that aside now. Back to Amaziah. Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? They conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Then they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. Let's pray. Where we see the intrigues of government here, we also see corruption. We see striking back at it. We see a lot of upheaval. Things that would not happen if all the nation feared you, just as in our nation, Lord. We would not have near the problems we have if we feared you. But the problems are our own making. Our president makes them, Congress makes them, leaders throughout make them, churches that don't preach the gospel make them, families that don't fear you make them. So, Lord, help us to gain wisdom as we study this history in Jesus' name, amen. sometime at church when I'm parked, I'll get in the car and start driving back to Orangeburg. And I'll notice there's a pine needle stuck in the windshield wiper that fell on the car while we were at church. And so it's there, however it might have gotten in there. And sometimes I'll notice it and I'll say, I wonder how long that's going to stay there. It's happened with bugs too. We'll get on the car as soon as we pull out and it's kind of holding on. And I'm wondering how long it's going to hold on until the wind blows it off. But whether it's a pine needle or a bug, it's in a very precarious position. The faster I go, the harder the wind blows against it. I think we've had them make it home, not the bug, but a pine needle. But you always expect that they're going to fly off and just drift back to earth off the car. We're likened in Scripture to the kinds of things that can fall if adverse conditions come up against them. For example, a house. Jesus used that at the closing of the Sermon on the Mount, that our house is us. Our life is a house. Our house is built. We build our house by the decisions we make, by our hearts and our minds and what we go after and what kind of people we are inside. And a house has to be built to withstand all manner of factors. There are environmental factors and human factors. Wind and rain and ice and snow, hail, termites, earthquakes, landslides, temperature extremes, not all that in Orangeburg, burglars, kids, acts of mischief, bad drivers, falling trees. As far off the road as you are, some drivers bad enough to hit your house. There are all sorts of factors that could affect your home. Our home has been hit by a limb that fell off during an ice storm. Trees fall down and hit houses. And so we're likened to a house. We're also likened to crops and soil and seed in soil. Various things to show that we also are precarious and uncertain in this world in some ways. And the desire is to be more solid. We don't want to live every day without certainty. We want to be able to be solid. We like predictability for our own well-being. We don't want to wonder if we're going down the road in our car, we might fly out the window. We don't want to think about that. We don't want that to be a possibility. Or we're walking through the woods and we got a 50-50 chance of a tree hitting us. We don't need that. We want to be firm, grounded, planted. If we live in this world without doing that, we will fail to be solid. We will fail to have a life that is proper and right in the sight of God. Our job is to withstand evil and corruption. We're not going to get any help from our world. Our world seeks to corrupt us and to pour evil into us, to make us conform to evil. The devil's world, he wants us to conform to his ways. So we'll get no help from our society. We must take responsibility for that. We have people that will help us, fellow Christians, church, our personal walk with God. But unless we make a decision and take a stand, we will become corrupt and evil. If you float downstream, at some point you go over the waterfall, or you go into a bigger body of water, or something happens to you. It's just totally up to the current. Without windows, the rain will come pouring into a house. Without riverbanks and levees and dams, water will pour into our homes. If we don't use sunscreen, the sun will have adverse effects on us. Without a coat, you'll freeze in cold weather. These are things that are our responsibility. You know, having enough sense to come in out of the rain, to wear a coat when you need to. These are our duties as people in this world to make proper decisions. Well, we come to Amaziah. Now, Amaziah, at least thankfully, has another name than the other ones right now. And so Amaziah comes into power, verse 1, in the second year of Joash, the son of Joahaz, king of Israel. Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. 25 years old when he became king, verse 2 tells us, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiadin of Jerusalem. So Amaziah comes into power, and he's said to be a good king in verse 3. But not as good as David. He did good, but not like David, his father. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2 says that he did not do right with a whole heart. He did right more outwardly, with a portion of his heart inwardly, maybe, but he was mostly show about doing good. But he went through the procedures. He went through the, you know, the literal practices of doing good, but not fully with his heart. His measure, verse 3 tells us, was according to all that Joash, his father, had done. So he is mimicking the dedication to good of his father, Joash. Joash, remember, back in chapter 12, was the one that took over as the king, as the only survivor when Athaliah killed all the king's sons. He was spared, and so he was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. He also is said to have done good, and it was qualified with as long as Jehoiada, the priest, instructed him. So he also, Joash, the father of Amaziah, did not do good with all his heart. He only did good with all of Jehoiada's heart. And when Jehoiada was gone, he did not do good. That's the father of Amaziah, who we're told Amaziah copies as to his devotion. Joash, Amaziah's father, was connected to the repair of the house of the Lord. And he did show some signs of being in charge and wanting that work to be done quicker. He complained to Jehoiada that they were not working fast enough to restore the house of the Lord. So he did have some good qualities. When Jehoiada died, Joash departed from the Lord and from the house of the Lord. He was conditional with the Lord as long as Jehoiada was alive. Once Jehoiada left, he left. That's more the fear of Jehoiada than the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord keeps you true regardless of who's around you. The fear of a person keeps you true until the person's not around you anymore. So Jehoiada left the Lord, left the house of the Lord, ignored the Lord, and departed from the Lord. The Bible says to serve idols. He didn't just ignore the Lord, the house of the Lord. He went to other gods. It's like he cheated on God with other lovers, other idols. And so Jehoiada's son, and I'm still talking about Joash, the father of Amaziah. Jehoiada's son Zechariah prophesied against Joash and the people of Israel for leaving God. And Joash murdered him. They stoned him for his prophecy. So that we're told that Joash, the father of Amaziah, did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada had shown him, but he murdered Jehoiada's son. That's Joash. He was good at first, bad at the end. Good while Jehoiada watched him, bad when Jehoiada died. Joash's end occurred when his servants killed him on account of the murder of Zechariah, the prophecy that was uttered, the son of Jehoiada, the priest. So his own servants killed him on his bed on account of that. So good start, good king, bad king, bad end. That was Joash. Amaziah has a good start. But can he hold on? Verse 4 says he walked with the Lord. He did what was pleasing with the Lord, it says, right in the sight of the Lord. Only the high places were not taken away, verse 4. People still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. That's kind of a compromise with idolatry, except it's not idols, it's the Lord. The high places, that's where people who were idol worshipers would go, because, you know, you're closer to your God if you're on a mountain. So if you go up on a mountain, it's a high place, and they would you burn incense or you do rituals, religious rituals for your God. So they did that with the Lord on the high places, but it wasn't supposed to be done there. The incense and all that was supposed to be done in Jerusalem in the temple. So he didn't bother with that. He didn't stop that. Verse 5 tells us he avenged his father from those who rose up against him and killed him, which I just, you know, mentioned, on account of the murder of Zechariah. So he, when he was established, verse 5 tells us, he killed those who killed his father. Now, his father had it coming, frankly. When Zechariah, who Joash, Amaziah's father, killed, when he was stoned, Zechariah prayed, "May the Lord see and avenge on Joash." And the Lord did see and avenge on Joash. But then Amaziah killed those who killed his father. I mean, technically they took their own vengeance, which, you know, but it was of the Lord and he had it coming. Verse 6 tells us he did not put to death the sons of the slayers, the murderers of his father, in obedience to the word of the Lord given in the law of Moses. So this again is giving him putting him in a good light. Because what a lot of kings would do once they got into power, they'd wipe out the whole family. That's what Athaliah did. Just wipe them all out, and then they don't have any competition. So he didn't do that on purpose, as a result of the law of Moses that would forbid that. 2 Chronicles gives us more information about these things. So I'm going to intersperse from time to time a little bit from there. But 2 Chronicles 25, verse 5, "Moreover, Amaziah assembled Judah and appointed them according to their father's households under commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds throughout Judah and Benjamin. He took a census of those from 20 years old and upward and found them to be 300,000 choice men." This is him raising an army, which again is a good policy move. You can't just put up a sign at the border saying, do not attack us. You have to have an army. So along with that, it says in 2 Chronicles 25, verse 6, he hired 100,000 valiant warriors out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So he bought an army. These are, mercenaries. They're coming in to fight for Judah for pay. But a man of God came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, nor with any of the sons of Ephraim. But if you go, do it, be strong for the battle, yet God will bring you down before the enemy. For God has power to help and to bring down. So a man of God says, listen, it's up to you. You can go with Israel in the battle, or you cannot and win. If you go with them, you're going to lose. So make up your mind. So Amaziah said, well, I've already paid them. I paid them 100 talents, which I have given to the troops. What am I supposed to do about that? And the man of God answered, the Lord has much more to give you than this. So that's a wash. Then Amaziah dismissed them, the troops which came to him from Ephraim, to go home. So their anger burned against Judah, and they returned home in fierce anger. So that's a setup for later. So Amaziah, back in 2 Kings, had a successful campaign. Verse 7 says he killed of Edom in the Valley of Salt 10,000, took Selah by war, and named it Jokthiel to this day. So he won the battle. More is given of that in 2 Chronicles. But he won the battle, and some men are found wanting in defeat. You get defeated, and you find out what kind of person they are. Some, in victory, you find out what kind of people they are. So 2 Chronicles 25, verse 14 says this about what kind of king Amaziah and what kind of person Amaziah was. After Amaziah came from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought the gods of the sons of Seir, Edom, set them up as his gods, bowed down before them, and burned incense to them. That's just like you go, South Carolina goes to play Clemson. And let's say South Carolina beats Clemson in a football game, and then they go back to Columbia, and then they set up all Clemson orange and all Clemson emblems at the university. And they start cheering for Clemson after they beat them. This is what Amaziah does. He goes into Edom, defeats Edom, and then brings Edom's gods home and makes them his gods. And so he forsakes the Lord for Edom. And so a prophet was sent from the Lord. In verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 25, it says, why have you sought the gods of the people who have not delivered their own people from your hand? That's a logical thing. As he was talking with him, the king said to him, have we appointed you a royal counselor? Stop. Why should you be struck down? Then the prophet stopped and said, I know that God has planned to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. Amaziah starts off, he's good, but not with his whole heart. So when he goes into Edom, he gets a victory, gets the gods of the people he defeated, and comes back, and now we know who he is more explicitly. He is not God's man. And when a prophet tells him that, he says, who put you in that position to tell me what to do? And he says, I know God has planned to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. That's his prophecy. That's where Amaziah stood at that point. After the victory at Edom, he was proud. And he challenged Israel to war. Verse 8 says, it came about as soon as the kingdom was firmly in his hands. Okay, that was 5. Verse 8, then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us face each other. Let's have a fight. Let's have a battle. Let's have a war. Because, you know, he's floating high now. His head is so big, he can't get in the castle, so he might as well go and fight another battle against Israel. Possibly one reason for this challenge was that the 100,000 that we're told about in 2 Chronicles of Israel that he dismissed, they went through the land and plundered it. 2 Chronicles 25:13, but the troops whom Amaziah sent back from going with him to battle raided the cities of Judah from Samaria to Beth Horon and struck down 3,000 of them and plundered much spoil. Those 100,000 that were dismissed killed 3,000 men or 3,000 people and plundered much spoil. So that might have been a reason for his wanting to attack, but his pride was what was driving him. Basically, what the king of Israel tells him is that, you know, don't stick your neck out. You won a battle. Don't stick your neck out. You know, you're like a thorn bush wanting to get the daughter of a cedar of Lebanon, which are very tall. And a wild beast tramples the bush, and you're done for. So don't stick your neck out. Don't act like you don't look for trouble where you don't really need it, because you'll end up it'll be bad for you and for Judah. And that's what he says to him in verse 10. So don't do this. It's going to be bad for you and Judah both. But Amaziah, verse 11 says, would not listen. Now, we're told in 2 Chronicles why he would not listen. You say, well, I know why he wouldn't listen. He's full of pride. That's true. 2 Chronicles tells us this, but Amaziah would not listen, for it was from God that he might deliver them into the hand of Joash, because they had sought the gods of Edom. All the time when this happens, it's his fault. It's Amaziah's fault. He's doing what's in his heart. He's proud. But he's also doing, overriding all of his thinking, what God has chosen for him to punish him. It was of the Lord that he might deliver them into the hand of Joash, because they had sought the gods of Edom. They went after the gods of Edom, and so the Lord has said, well, I'll punish them this way. He'll challenge Israel. Israel will warn him, but he won't listen, because I want Israel to give him a good beating. And that's what happened. They lost. There was exchange we see in the text. I won't read it again. There was exchange of gold and silver from the house of the Lord. There were hostages taken for a while. Various things took place. It was humiliating, a defeat of a proud person. When the proud are defeated, it's the highest shame for the proud, because they're boasting and then they get whipped. And that happened from the Lord, because they went after idols. Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. Amaziah starts good, not with his whole heart, does a few good things at the beginning, limits his vengeance, follows the law of Moses, and then goes to Edom, defeats the Edomites, and changes to their gods. brings their gods home, and worships them. Challenges Israel. The Lord has him ignore the warning. They get defeated by Israel, humiliated, shamed, punished, and he's not such a good king anymore, is he? So Amaziah, we're told, lived 15 years after the king of Israel died. So all that fighting with the king of Israel, he survived that, went back to Jerusalem, lived in Jerusalem. 15 more years he reigned, according to verse 17. And so in his last 15 years, what we're told about is that he, like his father, died from a conspiracy. Second Chronicles 25, 27, from the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they went after him to Lachish and killed him there. So his departing from the Lord contributed to the animosity against him, and he ended up being killed, just like his father. Now, you can kill good people like Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, or sometimes people get fed up with bad people and kill them. It makes more sense to kill bad people. And when a king's behavior and rule destroys the nation, it's not unheard of that they will rise up against the king who's a bad king. So Amaziah lived a precarious life. He started off well, but not with a full heart for the Lord. Without a full heart for the Lord, you're going in with a compromise. You're going in half-hearted. If you go in half-hearted against the devil, you'll be rolled. If you're not firmly on the Lord's side, you'll be rolled over. And he was in Edom. He grabbed the idols, worshiped them. He exercised pride and recklessness. And that's all on him because he rebelled against the Lord. No matter what the Lord's purpose was in it, he was doing what he felt he wanted to do because he'd already made up his mind to forsake the Lord. So his stubbornness toward war was consistent with his stubbornness toward the Lord, and the Lord set him up for defeat. That's why it's important for young people to be as quickly as possible in a relationship with the Lord and seeking the Lord. Because you see, both in Joash's case and in Amaziah's case, they start off with promise. Joash has a good mentor to lead him. Amaziah starts off doing good things, and you know, we're told of that. But then he quickly falls. If you don't hold tightly to the Lord in this world, you will quickly fall. If you just coast along, something will get in you. Something will infect you. You will not just idly go about your life and get away with it. You are open to the forces of evil. If you don't have any money to spend, you have no money to spend whatsoever. All your money is for covering your basic necessities. But then you say, you know, I'm not going to buy anything, but I think I will go and shop at Best Buy and just walk around. And your heart is likely half to buying and half at most of not. And that turns into spending money you don't have. And so what people do, if you come half-hearted to the Lord, you spend money you don't have. You become corrupt. You you stand on both sides of the fence, and then you move to the other side from the Lord. This is what happened literally with Amaziah. He was good, but not with all of his heart. He goes to Edom, and then he's not good with any of his heart, because he wasn't solid, firm. He was a facade. He was a covering wretchedness behind it, as opposed to a solid work of construction that was not veneer, but was through and through solid. He was just veneer. And when it came to going through the world and ruling in his kingdom, he was open to both sides, which means he was open to the other side, which means he chose the other side. That's what he did. This is a warning to us, an instruction to us, to fear the Lord from the earliest time and never let go. Let's pray. Lord, we certainly understand how this happens. We see it happen. I pray, Lord, that we would learn from it, because we have ample testimony from Scripture of the danger of being half-hearted with our faith and our commitment to you. May, Lord, you find us and make us every day solid and firm believers. In Jesus' name, amen.